and the style is definitely not one I typically use. And as you know, we do communion Easter Sunday after the message, so I typically don't preach as long, and I think my opinion is I don't preach long anyway. Some of you disagree with that, but that's all right. What a beautiful day to serve the Lord. Just before I start, there's something that concerns me on Easter. Easter is not the day it used to be in society. And you know what made me aware of that yesterday? I have some Amazon orders out, and it happened to say on Amazon, your package is being delivered on April 9th. Why? It's Easter. I didn't need it today. That tape measure wasn't that important. We need to reverence the Lord's Day, but reverence Easter. Another sermon for another time. That was my soapbox for today. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. Had no degree, yet they called him teacher. Had no medicines, yet they called him healer. Had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. I have a message I'd like to bring to you this morning that feels very important. Some of you may remember portions of this, I'm not sure. But it's a message I felt led to for today. The sermon title is Don't Leave It on the Desk. And what that is clickbait for online viewers. Hopefully they click on it and watch it. I just have a few comments, very powerful statements that are very true about Easter. And then I want to read you a story. It's a long one, but I hope it drives this message home. I typically don't read stories that long, but today I just felt it was appropriate. Most of you, I believe, I trust, know the Easter story at least fairly well. And we might even be able to go as far as describe even which gospel contains which parts of the Easter story if you're familiar with the gospels. But I'm not going to go into the, quote, Easter story today, but rather talk about what the Easter story means to us as people, as human beings. First thing I want to tell you is God gave us His Son. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God didn't send His only Son into the world to condemn the world. In other words, He didn't send His Son to put people on a guilt trip because He was so much better than everyone else. He sent His Son because He wanted to provide a way for the world to have a ticket to heaven to live with Him. I don't know if I'll ever fully comprehend how this works. God sending His Son to earth to be a person, but I'm eternally grateful He did. He's the only way to heaven. Don't ever think there's another way. Jesus is the only way. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:9-10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word begotten in here means natural offspring. This was God's Son. Now, I know we can't comprehend how this works and understand it or compare this to our own human genetics, but I know, at least most of the time, how hard it would be for me to give up one of my sons. And I think of Abraham and the incredible sacrifice he did. And I believe that commentaries reference that story when these verses are mentioned. But God made an incredible sacrifice for us when he sent his son. And he gave his son freely, no strings attached. Jesus, God gave Jesus to us. Do you get that? And then the Son gave his life. Jesus Christ willingly left the splendors of heaven to come to earth to live among men, experiencing the trials and hardships that humans face, and then willingly gave up his life on a cruel cross to provide us the way to heaven. I said that in a very short statement, but that was a mouthful. The incredible significance of what Jesus did on the cross. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that verse gets me. Jesus gave up his life while mankind was still sinning. They were still in the act of sinning. I don't know about you and how it is when you try to forgive someone, but it's a whole lot easier to forgive someone when they're not doing it anymore. Please forgive me while I'm doing it to you, right? That's what we did to Jesus. Jesus didn't see any signs of change, yet he still gave up his life. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He came to deliver us from a certain eternal death. We didn't merit it, we didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. Would you be willing to take the punishment for someone? Pay Johnny's speeding ticket? I'm sorry, I just pointed to Johnny. Go to jail for someone else shoplifting? Or how about taking the death sentence for someone else's murder? Yet Jesus took the punishment for all of mankind, for every sin that ever was committed, and for every sin that would be committed. His hurting brought our healing. Jesus Christ gave his life willingly and freely, with no strings attached. Do you recognize that he died for you? If you were the only one that would have sinned, he still would have done it. And then the third thing. I don't know how that happened. All right, stay there. And the third thing we can do, and third statement I want to give you, is we can give him our heart. John 3:16, I would be surprised, honestly, if someone, well, maybe if you're really young, you didn't know this verse, but whoever believes on him won't perish. Whoever, that means everyone. Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. In Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Adam sinned, Jesus died. There's several phrases. Free gift is mentioned. If you give someone a gift, most times it's a free gift, right? Unless it's a salesman, we have a free gift to offer you, and it's not free. And also notice it took one man, Adam, to totally screw it up for everybody. But also notice it took one man, Jesus Christ, to fix it all. That wonderful plan of redemption. And did I mention it's free? Did I mention that? Have you seen my church sign down there yet? Everything's costing more these days except salvation. It's still free. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Are you doing that? For us today, we celebrate Easter. We celebrate a risen Savior. We celebrate the fact we can live in heaven with him someday, and all and on it goes. But are we sharing that with others? Do you know that he is alive right now? Have you accepted that gift? Don't leave it on the desk. There was a certain professor of religion named Dr. Christensen, a studious man who taught a small college in the western United States. Dr. Christensen taught the required survey course in Christianity at this particular institution. Every student was required to take this course his freshman year, regardless of his or her major. Although Dr. Christensen tried hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon the course as nothing but required drudgery. Despite his best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. This year, Dr. Christensen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman. It's not Steve Walters, I don't think. Okay. But he was studying with the intent of going into seminary for the ministry. Steve was popular, he was well-liked, and he was an imposing physical specimen. He was now the starting center on the school football team and was the best student in the professor's class. One day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk with him. How many push-ups can you do? Steve said, I can do about 200 every night. 200. That's pretty good, Steve, Dr. Christensen said. Do you think you could do 300? Steve replied, I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time. Well, do you think you could? Asked Dr. Christensen. Well, I can try, said Steve. Can you do 300 in sets of 10? I have a class project in mind, and I need you to do about 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this to work. Can you do it? I need you to tell me you can do it, said the professor. Steve said, well, I think I can. Yeah, I can do it. Dr. Christensen said, good. I need you to do this on Friday. Let me explain what I have in mind. Friday came and Steve got to class early and sat in front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a big box of donuts. No, these weren't the normal kind of donuts. They were the big, extra fancy kind with cream centers and frosting swirls. Everyone was pretty excited. It was Friday, the last class of the year, and they were going to get an early start on the weekend with a party at Dr. Christensen's class. Dr. Christensen went to the first girl in the front row and said, Cynthia, do you want to have one of these donuts? Cynthia said, yes. Dr. Christensen then turned to Steve and asked, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia can have a donut? Sure. Steve jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve sat again at his desk. Dr. Christensen put a donut on Cynthia's desk. Dr. Christensen went to Joe, the next person, and asked, Joe, do you want a donut? Joe said, yes. Dr. Christensen asked Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut? Steve did 10 push-ups. Joe got a donut. And so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for every person before they got their donut. Walking down the second aisle, Dr. Christensen came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team. And when he was in as good condition as Steve, he was very popular and never lacking for female companionship. When the professor asked Scott, do you want a donut? Scott's reply was, well, I can do my own push-ups. Dr. Christensen said, no, Steve has to do them. Then Scott said, well, then I don't want one. Dr. Christensen shrugged and then turned to Steve and said, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want? With perfect obedience, Steve started to do 10 push-ups, and Scott said, hey, I said I didn't want one. Dr. Christensen said, look, this is my classroom. My class, my desks, and these are my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want it. And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort to be getting up and down. You could start to see a little perspiration coming out around his brow. Dr. Christensen started down the third row. Now the students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Christensen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Sternly, Jenny said, "No." Then Dr. Christensen asked Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Steve did 10. Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were a lot of these uneaten donuts on the desks. Steve had already really put forth a lot of extra effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. There began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face, and his arms and brow were beginning to get red because of the physical effort involved. Dr. Christensen asked Robert, who was the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch Steve do each push-up to make sure he did the full 10 push-ups in his set because he couldn't bear to watch all of Steve's work for all of those uneaten donuts. He sent Robert over to where Steve was so Robert could count the set and watch Steve closely. Dr. Christensen started down the fourth row. During his class, however, some students from other classes had wandered in and sat down on the steps along the radiators that ran down the sides of the room. When the professor realized this, he did a quick count, and he saw that there were now 34 students in the room. He began to worry if Steve would be able to make it. Dr. Christensen went on to the next person, to the next, and the next. Near the end of that row, Steve was having a rough time. He was taking a lot more time to complete each set. Steve asked Dr. Christensen, "Do I have to make my nose touch on each one?" Dr. Christensen thought for a moment, "Well, they're your push-ups. You're in charge now. You can do them any way you want." And he went on. A few moments later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came into the room and was about to come in when all the students yelled in one voice, "No, don't come in, stay out." Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, "No, let him come in." Professor Christensen then said, "You realize that if Jason comes in, you have to do 10 push-ups for him." Steve said, "Yes, let him come in. Give him a donut." Dr. Christensen said, "Okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut?" Jason, new to the room, hardly knew what was going on. "Sure, give me a donut." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so Jason can have his donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups very slowly and with great effort. Jason, bewildered, was handed a donut and sat down. Dr. Christensen finished the fourth row and then started on those visitors seated by the heaters. Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up, and he struggled to lift himself against the force of gravity. By this time, sweat was profusely dripping off his face, and there was no sound except his heavy breathing, and there was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two students in the room were two young women, both cheerleaders, both very popular. Dr. Christensen went to Linda, the second to last, and said, "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Christensen quietly asked Steve, "Would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. Then Dr. Christensen went to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears flowing down her face, began to cry. "Dr. Christensen, why can't I help him?" Dr. Christensen, with tears of his own, said, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I have given him this task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party for this last day of class, I looked at my grade book. Steve here is the only student with a perfect grade. Everyone else has failed a class, or failed a test, skipped a class, or offered me inferior work. Steve told me that in football practice, when a player messes up, he must do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut?" As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up, with the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him, and he fell to the floor. Dr. Christensen turned to the room and said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, pled to the Father, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." With the understanding that he had done everything that was required of him, he yielded up his life. And like some of those in this room, many of us leave the gift on the desk, uneaten. Two students helped Steve get up off the floor and to his seat, physically exhausted, but wearing a thin smile. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the professor, adding, "Not all sermons are preached with words." Turning to the class, the professor said, "Why, my wish is that you might understand and fully comprehend all the riches of grace and mercy that has been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He spared not only his begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, for the whole church, now and forever. Whether or not we choose to accept his gift to us, the price has already been paid. Would you be foolish and ungrateful to leave it lying on the desk?" Jesus Christ came and died and paid our price, paid our ransom, whether we accept it or not. And if someone was to offer you a donut, and with the exception if it made you sick, I'm sure you wouldn't eat it, but wouldn't it be pretty dumb to not eat it if someone gave it to you? But think about everyone who is rejecting the incredible gift of eternal life. I'm only human, and I can't look inside you and tell where you're at. I trust you know the Lord as your Savior. But my question to you this morning, have you accepted this magnificent free gift that Jesus Christ has given us? If you haven't, I'd strongly suggest you do. And I beg you, don't leave it laying on the desk. We're going to enter into our communion time.